Greetings to listeners all around the world. Welcome to Safe Dividend Investing's podcast number 137 on October 12th of 2023. My name is Ian Duncan MacDonald. In today's podcast, I'll be answering three interesting investment questions. The objective of my books, my website, and my podcasts are to show all those seeking financial independence how to become informed, confident, successful, self-directed investors. Question number one. How do you define high and low share prices for stocks? How does share price determine if a stock is a good buy? Whether a stock price is high or low is not the most important consideration in buying stocks. What is important is whether the company is financially strong. A $5 stock can be much stronger financially than a stock costing $500. The purpose of a company is to make a profit. Just because a stock costs $5 does not mean it is not financially strong. It may have a book value of $10 and have an operating margin in excess of 50%, while the stock you have to pay $500 for has a book value of only $5 and an operating margin of 2%. Do you want to invest in stocks that are barely profitable or ones that are very profitable? Such $5 stocks do exist, and they are bargains. You are buying the character and the experience of the executives who control the company's revenues and expenses that result in the company's profits. Their established character is reflected in the company's historical share prices and dividend payouts going back for decades. The quickest way to identify profitable companies is to seek out those paying high dividends over 3.5%. Many stocks trading for over $100 pay token dividends of 1% or less. They are often strictly focused on share prices and do not hesitate to use their profits to manipulate their share prices with buybacks instead of rewarding loyal shareholders with dividends. The corporate executives of these $100 companies are often very focused on the income they will realize from their annual stock option bonus grants. If you have $1 million to invest, you can invest it in 200,000 $5 shares or invest it in 2,000 $500 shares. The chances of a high dividend paying $5 stock doubling are many times greater than a $500 stock doubling. This makes worrying about the share price as a deciding factor and whether to buy a stock of questionable relevancy. For my own purposes, I designed stock scoring software that measures 11 stock data factors. Price is only one of the 11 factors. For my friends, I wrote books to help them select financially strong stocks. Investing this way has served me and them well for 19 years. Question number two. Do major banks employ unethical financial advisors? I once had an 80-year-old friend who told me that until her portfolio lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, that she had given the same reverence and respect to her financial advisor as she did to her priest. She did not realize then that financial advisors were serving a different god, one of selfishness and greed. Her enlightenment began when she moved her money from a full-service investment account in one major international bank to a self-directed account in another major international bank. She went to her new bank branch to inquire about making the transfer. Here, she was referred to, let us call him Mr. Bird Dog. In a 45-minute meeting, she stressed with Mr. Dog that she no longer wanted a full-service account because her investment income was not enough to carry the expense of fees, and she now wanted total control over her investments. Mr. Dog said he knew just the right person to help her with this transfer. He assured her that the transfer would only take 1 to 3 days. An appointment was set with, let us call him, Mr. Big Shark. She was told he was a vice president. Mr. Dog asked her to bring a void check to the meeting, and she was assured that the check would not be retained. Before she left the bank, Mr. Dog opened a savings account and a self-directed investment account for her. She immediately transferred $4,500 into this investment account. A few days later, she met with Mr. Dog and Mr. Shark. Mr. Shark immediately launched into a sales spiel about the advantages of having a full-service investment advisor. Is it possible Mr. Dog had not informed Mr. Shark that she did not want a full-service investment account? She advised Mr. Shark of this, but he, seeking every opportunity to realize income, asked her if she had a will plus powers of attorney for both financial and personal. She advised him that the legal papers her lawyer had recently drawn up for her were perfectly in order. However, being a determined salesperson who could not take no for an answer, Miss Shark still pushed for her to meet with their expert for wills and powers of attorney. The day after this first meeting, she asked Mr. Dog to remind Mr. Shark that she was not interested in seeing a third person regarding wills and trusts, nor did she wish a full-service account. He assured her that he would make this very clear to Mr. Shark. A second meeting was held with Mr. Shark to arrange for the transfer of her portfolio from the other bank. She was required to sign a document, allegedly to authorize the transfer to the new self-directed investment account. Recognizing that she was being hustled by Mr. Shark, she confirmed with him that the document's sole purpose was to transfer the portfolio to the self-directed investment account that had already been established. Unfortunately, she did not read all the small print on all the pages, but Mr. Shark assured her in the presence of Mr. Dog that he would not do anything without first consulting with her. Every day, she checked to see if the money had been transferred. It took 10 days, not the 2 or 3 she had expected, before she saw any money appearing in her investment account. It was only when she was ready to sell 1 or 2 funds that had been transferred that she discovered that she did not have a sell and a buy button on her holdings computer screen. She could not sell the funds. Several times she went to the branch and discussed this problem with Mr. Dog. Her money was there, but she was blocked from accessing it. As a lowly clerk in the bank, Mr. Dog's loyalties were obviously with the vice president, not the customer. Getting nowhere with Mr. Dog, she phoned the bank's self-directed service helpline. This is when she learned that Mr. Shark had converted her self-directed investment account into a full-service investment account, contrary to her directions and wishes. During one of her meetings, she had asked what Mr. Shark's fees would be for handling her account if it were a full-service account. He said that for a portfolio of that size, the normal rate was 1.2% of the portfolio per annum. However, he was willing to lower the fee to 1%. He obviously knew that he would be losing a potential five-figure income every year if she were to gain control of her investment account. She had severed her relationship with the last bank's full-service investment account because she had become aware that for more than 10 years, unbeknownst to her, that the investment advisor had been annually taking out of her investment account thousands of dollars in transactional fees. This was over and above the flat percentage fee she had been paying each year. After a third meeting with Mr. Shark and Mr. Dog, the account was changed back to a self-directed account. It was surprising to her that a bank would allow an advisor to change a self-directed trading account into a full-service account without the customer's consent. She had also mistakenly understood that the Securities Commission had strict guidelines on unauthorized access to a client's funds. It seems that extreme aggressive behavior by financial advisors rewards him with the title of vice president to establish credibility and respectability with naive investors. At this time, she also learned that Mr. Shark had taken the liberty of opening five additional full-service accounts for her. For weeks, she demanded that these accounts be removed. Dividends and cash from the sale of one of her funds had been put in them, but was inaccessible to her. Mr. Shark had also been reinvesting her money each month without her agreement. It took her 3 months of almost daily follow-up and escalation within the bank before she finally got control of her money. Don't lose control of your investment money. Do not trust anyone who says for a small fee they will take away all the work and worries of planning for your retirement. There are no shortcuts in safely managing your money. The investment world is full of sharks whose objective is to transfer as much of your money into their pockets as they can get away with. Question number 3. How can you learn how to successfully invest in stocks? I naively entrusted my hundreds of thousands of dollars to a very experienced professional investment advisor. He invested it in mutual funds. Within 3 years, I'd lost $300,000 of my nest egg. That experience converted me into being a self-directed investor. I then read everything I could on investing. Most of it was material written by investment advisors meant to impress other investment advisors with jargon and weird, complicated investment strategies. Very little was gained from these books and articles other than a realization that investment advisors are fixated on convincing investors that the sole objective of investing is to buy stocks at the lowest possible price that you can soon sell at the highest possible price. This is called speculating, which is a form of gambling. Unfortunately, the vast majority of speculators lose money over time because it is impossible to accurately predict future share prices. Because my background was a senior executive building commercial risk scoring system for banks and others, I decided to look at stock investing as if it was just another form of commercial risk. When making a commercial risk decision, such as lending money to a new business or shipping merchandise on credit to a new customer, you are faced with the desire to establish a long, mutually beneficial relationship with the customer. Plus, the length of the credit terms and the amount of credit risk you're willing to take on are competing with other banks and manufacturers. Also, your sales staff who are judged on their ability to make loans or sell your product can put pressure on you to accept the maximum risk with this new customer because they often work on commission or bonus structures. The amount of information the credit manager has access to is limited to such things as how long has the company been operating, how quickly or slowly other suppliers are being paid, and the presence of public information such as legal suits and judgments. Private companies rarely share their financial information. While in buying stocks as a self-directed investor, you are not faced with outside pressures pushing you to make a risky decision. You are faced with your own internal debates about the possible risks and rewards of a stock purchase. On the plus side, you have free, easy access to an amazing amount of free financial information and historical trend information on every public company whose shares you are thinking of buying. Far more information than you need to make a wise stock purchase decision. To me, the puzzle is, why are investors more likely to buy stocks on tips they receive from friends and stock promoters rather than taking 5 minutes to just check such basic things as the book value of the stock, its operating margin, its history of share prices and dividend payouts? With the free computer systems available, it is very easy to use selectors to zero in on the safe, financially strong stocks that might interest you from the 16,000 stocks available in North America. From a few dozen possibilities, you compare them and make an informed buying decision. This is not speculating. This is logical decision making. I've used this approach for 19 years and long recovered the $300,000 I had lost and have increased the value of my portfolio by several multiples while enjoying an annual six-digit income. Investing in financially strong companies paying high dividends is safe and it works. The steady dividends get paid even during market crashes and recessions. You just need to be shown how to use the information that is easily available. friends who asked me for investment help resulted in my writing investment books. Since I don't use investment jargon, it is not present in my books. I'm not writing for investment advisors. I'm trying to educate people like you. Many who have adopted my teachings have prospered. If you are not a book person, you can still get help by listening to my podcast and visiting my website, www.informus.ca. There are some educational videos there that I created a few years ago that will cover the basics. It is important that you entrust no investment advisor with your money. It is critical that you know exactly what you are invested in, why you chose it, and how much it is costing you. You are perfectly capable of handling your own investments. Thanks for listening. If you wish more information on investing and stock scoring, please visit my website, www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com.